Hey everyone, welcome back to Contract Revolution, the podcast by Breakthrough Academy. Have you ever felt like getting your team to follow through on things is kind of like pulling teeth? Well, you're not alone, because I get it. Accountability is a huge challenge that most contractors we coach have. But what if I told you there was a system that made follow through more automatic? A simple meeting rhythm that aligns your team, keeps them focused on their results, and actually gets them excited about the week ahead. Well, that's exactly what this episode is about today. It's called Goal Setting and Review, or GSR for short. And this is a framework that is one of the most powerful systems that we teach our members to implement. So I recently hosted a web class where we walked hundreds of contractors through how to shift from being less of a boss and more of a coach, and how to get to your team to be truly bought into their roles and the results that they should own, and use the GSR framework to build real, lasting accountability into your culture. So we thought, why not release this as a full session for all of you so you can enjoy it on the podcast? Make sure you grab the resource bundle linked in the description below so you can follow along and implement this stuff right away. So let's get into it. You're listening to Contract Revolution, the podcast by Breakthrough Academy, where we systemize contracting businesses for growth. Keep listening to learn how the world's top contractors scale their companies, build killer teams, and make more while working less. Welcome to our web class today on how to keep your staff on track without conflict or coddling. Essentially, I would love today to be a pretty straightforward webinar on how to hold your team accountable and how to just like bring more of a performance management cycle to your organization. All with the idea that we want to probably increase productivity of our teams, increase capacity, and meet the demand of what we have out in the marketplace. And it doesn't have to all be done through an iron fist or through passive aggressive behavior. There is a way to lead our teams where we can all be pointing in one direction, achieving one big goal, but everybody can do it in light of what they take care of within the organization. And you as the owner can drive that team. So lots to get into around that. Before we start on that, I thought we'd start with LiveStorm, which is the program you're in right now. It's kind of like Zoom. I can see some of you already found it, giving us lots of hey's. Hey, Darcy. Hey, Bob. Roberto, Nick, Jonathan. In the chat, give me just like a quick, like, where are you from? And this will be relevant as we get into this later, but the number of people that you lead in the organization. So this can include your subcontractors and your actual like employees, but A, where are you from? Just curious. And B, how many people do you lead? Give me a number, whatever the number would be. And this will come up a little bit later as we get chatting. So that helps. Yeah, keep going in there. Everybody give me one, at least one post in here. Give me a chat because we'll be chatting as we go. Make sure you found the chat as well, which is always important. And if you haven't found the chat, it's at the bottom. There's a little thing that says chats bubble. Hopefully it's 21st century. We all use these things. They look similar now. Good. I can see them all coming in. Great. Colorado, 50 people. Great. Robert. Yeah. 10, 9, 10, 297. All right. You got a big team. This will be good. So today's topic will be relevant for anyone leading teams. If you have no one to lead, I hate to say it, but there probably won't be as much relevancy today. But if you lead a team, and especially if you lead layers within your organization, this is going to be a massive, massive webinar for a lot of you. So I look forward to it. All right, let's get into it. So first things first, know that everything we cover today, we're going to give you some resources on. So we're going to talk a bit about holding accountability through employment agreements. We're going to give you an example and a template on this. We're going to talk a little bit about performance reviews and how to do that effectively. I'm going to give you a template on that. We're going to talk about weekly goal setting and review meetings. We're going to give you a template on that, how to organize your calendar. Anyways, there's a lot of things we're going to talk about, but to help with implementation of these concepts, we'll give you downloads and resources and walkthroughs on everything completely for free. So check that out. That will be a link at the end of today, probably about an hour from now. So just look out for that. You can download everything, a little bit of a goodie bag you can take with you and rock with and actually implement a lot of these concepts. It should help. Bit about me. So my name is Danny Kerr. I'm the co-founder and visionary of Breakthrough Academy. So maybe just in the chat, let me know how many of you know what Breakthrough Academy is, have ever heard of it before. Been around for about 10 years. My roots are actually in painting. So I started a painting company when I was 18 years old under a franchise organization. We led about 16 or so people, then took on a role with them as a GM, as the basically GM for Alberta. And I had about, I think, 20 franchisees and about 100 painters under me. And the processes we're going to talk about today have a lot to do with way back then, like what I was held accountable to and how I held my teams accountable. And the massive win that I found in all of this is I went from being like the doer of everybody's job a little bit to having a true team that could actually take things on for me and rock with them. It's my family above, but I've been with my wife since I was 16 years old. And there was a point where she definitely told me, you have to get better at your job or you're not allowed to be an entrepreneur anymore. And it was processes like this, especially this accountability structure I'm going to get in with you today, where I was actually truly able to delegate this stuff down to my team and go from working, gosh, sometimes 80 hours a week down to more like 30 to 50, like a sustainable person should. So lots has happened since then. 10 years ago, we started Breakthrough Academy, which is essentially a place to almost like, it's almost like a franchise system for companies in the contracting space that never would buy a franchise, but they need all the processes and systems and guidance and leadership. And so we've led about 1,800 businesses over the last 10 years. And these systems I'm going to talk about today, every single one of them has played around with and implemented in their company. So I've learned a lot from my own experience in this. And I've also learned about just what works when you start to put this in other businesses. And this is a pretty universal one that should help everyone here. So I'm excited for it. General purpose, let's just help you kind of decompartmentalize what it takes to drive a have a performance-driven team within your organization. Because it's not just we're going to set goals and we're all going to go for it. There's elements and components of this that matter. So let's get into that. I'm going to go through the five steps of performance management and how it really relates to true accountability within your organization, and then ultimately give you the templates you need to go make it happen. So that is the plan. Now, you guys are already in the chat, which is great. I have a question for you, so give me some insight on this, but I would love to know your challenges when it comes to holding your teams accountable. Why is it so hard to hold your people accountable? What is it? Is it, do you not have time for this? Is it not well structured? Are there not good goals that you can hold to? Is it that they don't want to be held accountable? Where are the challenges you find when it's like, I'm trying to get everybody to go and point in this one direction and I'm constantly chasing people because I see it all the time. And sometimes we feel like glorified babysitters. I get it. I've led many teams. And it kind of comes from this place I find is like people don't want to think for themselves. So I have to think for them. And then when I'm holding them accountable to something that they don't fully understand, it's almost like I have to do that part for them as well. I'm seeing lots of people come in here. So quality of work, time, undefined roles. Yeah, we're going to get into that. Structured into their accountability. We're going to get into that as well. Every sub is different and have no structure. Yeah, a lot about structure is good. Not structured. There's lots coming in. Commitment versus skill. Quality. Yeah, work quality standards. I'm going to touch on a lot of this actually today. This is what I mean. There's a lot of little components that matter to have this go really well. But I would say that foundationally to all of this is an actual shift in your mindset as a leader or as an entrepreneur. Because I think a lot of us, or at least our teams, think of us as the boss, right? Where we have more transactional relationships where it's like, I'm paying you for your time to do your job. So just do what I say. But what that leads to is people don't really think for themselves anymore. They're just kind of there to take orders and do what you tell them. Whereas I would love for all of us as entrepreneurs, especially, to shift to this more like coach's mindset, where each player can own their own role. And your job is not to tell them what to do, but is to help support them in hitting their own goals, right? They should have their own little mini business units within your organization. And that changes people's mindsets, right? It empowers people to think critically in their role. And I've had some pretty just interesting personal experience with this, where there was a time where I led a bunch of student franchises to go run these student painting companies that I used to operate. And through the summer, they used to all have to shift into being more of like their own little mini entrepreneur. Some of them I also hired, though, to help me with recruiting in the off season, to help me bring on more franchises for the new year. And I watched as their brain flipped from being like entrepreneurial, independent thinking, critical thinking human to just not really processing the details and wasting a day or two because they didn't follow my direction of effectively working for me. And I've watched as if you can set up an environment for people where you can be more their coach than their boss, a lot of this starts to take care of itself. And I'll get into how we do this today. But maybe just in the chat, how many of you feel like you're everyone's boss right now? How many of you feel like you're everyone's coach right now when it comes to leading your team? Give me just a coach or a boss word. That's so I can take a big quick tally or a poll. So lots of bosses. Yeah, mix of both. Cool. Bit of coaches. That's great. 50-50. Cool. Good. All right. So let's talk about what this takes to do. Okay, before I even do that, I want you to do one thing. This is why I asked you earlier how many people you have on the team. Everyone, take your phones right now. There's a massive impact in the size of team that we lead and how this grows over time. But type in the number of people that you lead right now and times that by about 2,000 hours. That's roughly the amount of hours that somebody works in a given year. It's a little more, a little less for some, but give me that number. How many hours are you leading in a fiscal year? So we've got 70,000, 80,000, 1,800 or 18,000, 54,000. There's so many hours, right? And you as an entrepreneur can only be 2,000, maybe 3,000 of those hours. And your ability to lead others is pretty much fundamental to your ability to be successful as an entrepreneur, right? And so this is a lot of what the impact of today actually has, is these hours matter and they can't all be yours. Madison, you have 192,000 hours you lead. You obviously can't do all those. So you could do 2,000 to 3,000 of them, but it's like, what do you do with that time to make sure those 40,000, 50,000, 100,000 hours go well and are productive? So to do this, we need a performance management cycle in place, something that has real well set up expectations. We have a cadence to holding rigorous accountability to people over time, and we have places to review how people are doing. And that cycle continues throughout each year, throughout each quarter, throughout each month, even throughout each week, which we're going to talk about today. So let's get into step one, expectation setting. To do this well, here's the elements that you need. You need to have established roles, which I saw some of you are working on right now. You need to have clear deliverables, or what we call KPIs, like numbers that somebody's actually in charge of. You need to have a clear reporting structure, so who reports to who. And people need direct incentives, like something to go for that they win if you win, if you know what I mean. Now, it starts with an org structure. So just give me a quick yes or no. How many of you have built something like this, whether it's on paper or in a computer somewhere, or you've drawn it up, but you've built an organizational structure where you kind of say, as the owner, here's the people I lead, here's their roles, here's who they lead below them, right? So this is the first step. And I think a lot of people do this, but where I think a lot of people miss is adding in what we call deliverables, so that every role has a number that they need to achieve. And if they achieve it, they know they've kind of hit their, delivered on their weight to the organization. If they're being paid a salary and some bonuses, what is the number they need to achieve to be worth the cost that you're actually paying them? So you can see in this example, there's funny names. You can see if I've got some. Anyway, Abraham Lincoln is leading $2.5 million this year in his organization. He wants to hit a 40% gross profit margin, and he wants to have 60% of his customers recommend him to others, or something called Net Promoter. It's a quality score that you Google it is a good effective way to see how people think about your organization. 60% is good. So this is their goals. Now he's leading an office admin and he's leading a production manager. And within that, the production manager has the same revenue goal because they got to go produce that revenue. He's trying to hit a slightly higher gross profit margin, 44%. This allows for a little bit of slippage in case they don't hit all their profit margin goals. The company's budget is at least set at 40%. And he's not looking at Net Promoter as much, but he's looking at how the customer fills out their quality satisfaction score at the end of a job. And he wants to get a 9 or a 10 on all of them, 9.5 out of 10 on average. And how those goals then lead down to the crew leaders, right? And they have a broken down version of that. And these deliverables matter, right? These are basically things that are clear, measurable, tangible results that an employee can deliver on within the organization. It's clarity of all the things that I do every day. Am I actually getting the number hit? Now, this is good. And I think this like helps bring clarity to a lot of people. And you can sit down in the office and go through this with the team. But what I've watched is after a month or two, that zest to hit that number falls off if there's not a few more things in place. So the first big thing that needs to be in place is an employment agreement that is directly built around these deliverables. So you can see in this example here, the exact same numbers I just set in that org structure for that project manager, 2.5 million at a 44% margin, 9 out of 10 quality rating score, so on and so forth, are front and center in the agreement. And the entire agreement is built around these deliverables. So not just what, you know, the legalese of an agreement needs to be, not just like the tasks you do in your job, but the numbers or how it's all kind of built with the end in mind around this, if that kind of makes sense. Now, we're going to give you a resource on this. It's a pretty big document because there's lots more in here, but download this, play around with this. But setting up the numbers in the agreement is a good place to start. Now, what you do with the numbers is you actually build them into the accountabilities. So these are the things that somebody has to do in their job. But if you notice here at the top, it says based on deliverable one, aka delivering projects on budget and on schedule, or otherwise said 2.5 million at a 44% margin, here's the tasks that you're directly in charge of. So now it's not subjective of whether or not I'm doing my job. It's like if you're hitting the numbers, you're likely doing all the tasks involved. And if you're not hitting the numbers, let's go look at the accountabilities you have in your role and see where you may be missing, right? It brings clarity to usually subjective thoughts around I'm doing my job, I'm not, right? Now, within that, we need to also define who reports to who. When do they report in? what are they reporting on? And I've seen kickback on this, and I'm sure you've maybe done this in the past where it's like, I don't want to fill out paperwork on a Friday. It's like, no, this is actually a part of your role, right? It's right in your agreement. This is what we signed off on, that the performance management of you is a part of what you need to do in your role, which we'll get into in a bit around prep, but you need to report to John. You need to report in once a week, and you need to report in on these key elements of what your role actually is. And the final big piece of these agreements is that they actually have a compensation structure that's married into the deliverables or the numbers that they're trying to achieve, right? So if you're going to have a bonus structure, I don't recommend that it's just a profit share year end. I don't recommend that some ambiguous number that they may or may not hit, because it creates a lot of animosity when they don't understand how to actually achieve it and how much they're going to make and what they need to be in control, right? And so this allows them to have that. Here's your base salary. And for hitting these key metrics that we're trying to achieve, here's your upside potential, right? So a good agreement has these elements baked right into it. And if you notice, it's all based off the deliverables we defined in the org structure. Okay? So we'll give you an example org structure in our download package. I'm going to give you an example and a template and a walkthrough, actually, how to build these agreements properly. But these are some of the first kind of key setups that are required. Now, this is good, and this gives people some direction on what they need to do, what specifically their role is, all these good things. What's next, though, is you need to keep up with these numbers you've set with them. Because if you don't have conversations about this for 6 months or 8 months or a year, again, the zest to hit these things, the focus and attention and energy to achieve this falls on the wayside. So the next big thing is you need to have a dashboard where this is tracked, where you can have regular meetings around. So first thing you set, and actually, again, we're going to give you this as a resource, so don't worry, we'll give you a little template for this, but there should be a place to have the annual goals sit. Those annual goals then need to be broken down into their quarterly benchmarks. So this quarter, what are we trying to achieve? And then within that, which I'll show you in a second, there's a place to set goals every week or 2 weeks. So it's all focused in this one little meeting form where you guys can start to have regular cadence of performance-driven management meetings to achieve their year-end targets. This is where you're noticing, like, you're going from being everyone's boss of like, you need to go do this, to I'm going to be your coach and help you achieve this. And you can come to me for things you might need. I'm not coming to you. Like, this is your responsibility, but I'm here to help you, if that makes sense. So just quick, like, poll to everyone out there. How many of you have started to build this? Maybe you don't have it fully built, but you've got elements of this going on right now. You maybe have built the org structure. Some people have some numbers maybe put into that thing. Maybe you've even gone as far as to build the employment agreement where you've actually put numbers in their agreements. And maybe you've gone even further and you have a bit of a dashboard, whether it's on, you know, a CRM or project management software, or you've got a little sheet that they use in Google Drive. Yeah, some of EOS systems, good, awesome. So these are the like fundamental elements before we even start setting goals. And this is where it can fall down. If you don't have this built, you can go and set goals all you want or give people bonus structures. But if you don't have these pieces in place first, it usually backfires. Right? So this is a piece of what we teach at Breakthrough Academy, actually, is all this stuff, but it's really understanding, like, how do the financial controls of the organization actually dictate the roles, the defined roles within our organization? How do we define these in such a way that we can hold real accountability within the organization? Once we know that, I won't go through all of it today, but it's like, how do we know, reverse engineer who we're actually trying to hire, what the training process should look like, and what our sales and marketing process should look like? It is kind of a central pillar, I think, to how most organizations should scale. And until this is in place, it's very hard to scale, right? Because you can get to a million, I think, without this. But I think the path from a million to 10, this needs to at some point get implemented. Okay. Now, let's go deeper. Let's talk about how to do accountability within the meetings that you're going to have. So these meetings are usually every week to 2 weeks. And they're consistent, and there's something where you're there to, again, coach them through their year to achieve their year-end deliverables that they've committed to with you. So let's get into these meeting rhythms. So good meeting rhythms, if nothing else, are consistent. They're a part of the routine. They're in the calendar blocked an entire year in advance. They're not randomly set up every Tuesday and then on a Thursday and then on a Friday when we have time. They're consistent. One of our coaches, Ian, he lives and dies by this. He makes sure his routine with every single person he coaches, every single person that is under them, has this in their calendar before he'll move forward on anything. Now, the good news is you don't have to meet with every single person on your team. You need to meet with your direct reports. So this is just a visualization of what this looks like for most organizations that are growing. But You should at some level have usually a sales manager that you're in charge of, an office admin, and a production manager that you're in charge of. You're not doing with all this with all your salespeople. You're not doing this with all your crew leads or all your painters. You're doing with this with the people that lead key pillars of your organization. Now, I will say, I also know and I get that not all of you have these roles yet, and that's okay. So you might be that key person in charge of the sales side of it or the production side of it. But as you grow, you want to know that these are the roles that are going to sit in between me and the rest of the org. And my job really, as we grow, is to hold these three individuals accountable to their deliverables. They will then hold the team or the company accountable to everything below there. If that makes sense. So within that meeting rhythm with these, say, three people, for example, you want to have these things done on a weekly or bi-weekly basis. It's not a ton of time. We'll get into how much, but it's about a half an hour meeting where you're going over their goals versus their actuals and helping them through their year. Like I said earlier, this is only with your direct reports, and it doesn't have to always be done in person. If it needs to be done online, that's totally fine. But the key is that they're consistent, right? So this is the meeting rhythm to be able to hold people into accountability structure around their deliverables. Next thing is they need to prep. So back in the day when I did this with my franchisees, I would always have them prep on a Friday, have it submitted by 5 p.m. on a Friday. I was sometimes calling people at 5:30 because their prep wasn't fully in, but there was an expectation to not just like show up for the meeting, but to have scheduled time to actually do the prep. So prep is done by your direct report prior to goal setting review meetings. I usually have them do it on Fridays. I then reviewed it on either a Friday afternoon or I usually, as I did, Monday mornings, right? So Monday morning, I'd be reviewing everyone's prep, what they said, you know, they did well, what they didn't do well, what they're looking, what they're working on for the next week or two, and any key questions they had. And this allowed me to prepare, right? And not just come in with some random thoughts on a Tuesday when I met with them, but actually sit down and think, like, what does this person actually need? Are their goals actually the right goals? And what can I do to help, again, as a coach, lead them in the right direction? So like I said earlier, there's a dashboard for this. So it's fairly simple, but I think it's because it's so simple, I like it. And it'll give you a place for them to prep all of their stuff leading into these meetings. Question on prep. Give me a scale of 1 to 10. How many of you feel like going into meetings, you and your team are well prepared? So this is a scale of 10, right? So it's like a 10 out of 10 or an 8 out of 10 would be like, everybody is well prepared. We have qualitative and quantitative discussions that lead into really well put action steps. A lot of us might have a bit of a plan, but they often get distracted or dislodged throughout the meeting. And some of us don't have a plan at all. We just go into meetings a little unprepared. So I see numbers all over the map. Thank you guys for being honest. Jason, good job at the 9. All right, cool. Okay. So we started to prepare. We started to get things ready. We're coming in. We got a good mindset of what our people need. They have a good understanding of where they've been and what they've done. Now we need to go into the meeting itself. I really recommend that these meetings are not hour, 2 hour, 3 hour long meetings, that effectively they should be a half hour long if you do them properly. And if, again, prep is done well. And so there's usually 5 minutes where you're opening and just checking in on how they're doing. 10 minutes where you're reviewing the last week or 2 weeks of their performance. 10 minutes of planning out the future goals and their plan to get there, and 5 minutes for administrative items. All right, so let's go into what these kind of like sections of the meeting actually look like and give some clarity and some thought around it. So check in. This is something that if you're very numbers focused, could be easy to miss or not focus on at all. It's like, hey, let's just get into where you're at. Take time to see where your people are at. Take time to understand about their weekends, what's going on with their kids, what is exciting them, what's stressing them out. Because this will fundamentally change the course of that entire next half an hour, right? I remember one of my franchisees years ago, Brandon, what's his last name, but he was having a hard time. And I was spending every week trying to get him to get his crews hired, to get productivity out of his team. And it just was not happening. And I finally just like took time in the beginning to like to listen to him, right? I took time to seek first to understand him before I sought to him to understand that, hey, he's behind on his goals. He knows he's behind on his goals. And the more we were having these meetings, the more frustrated he was getting. And I realized this meeting does not need to be right now about the fact that you're behind. It needs to be about you, where you're at emotionally, mentally. He didn't have a skill issue. He'd been around for a lot of years, but his performance was dropping every single, you know, week that we were working together. And it came down to like his buy-in to the overall like organization and what we were doing, because he was lost. And I realized out of that meeting, we don't have to go through numbers today. We don't have to talk about any of this. let me just like hear where you're at. Let me hear you out. Let me like understand you. And then actually set up another meeting entirely out of this where we can just go have lunch together. Let's just talk because there's something going on with your alignment. And so I find that opening and check-in section, if not done, you can just go through the rhythm with your people and they'll go through it with you. And they probably won't say much, but you can massively miss the mark if you don't take time to understand where they're at personally and professionally before you dive into the numbers. Okay. So that's the first 5 minutes. Assuming things are going okay, next step is to get into the performance review of things, right? So in the last week or 2 weeks since we last met, was the goal hit? Was it missed? By how much? And most importantly, why? Because we can go and do the same thing every single week to try and just do more, work harder, be better, or we can strategically understand what's causing the issue. What's the root problem of why a goal might be missed? So I've seen this before where, you know, production's happening, productivity's down by 10%, and we're falling behind on our schedule, right? Who's ever had this before? You've got a full booked schedule of work, and slowly you guys are like having to call customers being like, hey, we got to push you out a couple of days. Hey, we got to push you out a couple of weeks, whatever it is, right? Well, I could just be like pedal to the metal, work the crews harder, make them work more hours. And you can only do that for so long before you realize like it's not happening. And I go into the math of it all and I go, okay, if we're down on 10% every single week and we're averaging looks like 35 hours per painter that's working for us, we can keep pushing these painters. But I know in July, August, and I'm sure you guys know this too, they get tired. I think we just need one more person. And so instead of next week going on all sites and just driving productivity with our crews, let's actually focus the attention now to hiring and doing some interviews and doing a very different activity than would have probably happened next week had we not sat down and actually looked at like, did we hit, did we miss, by how much? And most importantly, like I just said, why? So we can get our teams working on the things that actually matter, not just doing more of the same thing, right? Learning and insights on this are huge. So we can take the learning, what we've gotten from this, and we can start to make our future plan. Now, this plan is only for the next week or 2 weeks, but what's very important about it is that it's the right stuff, right? It's the stuff that actually is going to make an impact to the long-term goal. Because I've seen this with a lot of people too, where it's like, what's your plan for the next 2 weeks? Do 24 estimates, produce $20,000 worth of work, hire two guys. All good, but are they the right goals in context to where we're trying to go for the quarter? And this is why the sheet always has the annual and the quarterly goals in it. Because while we're setting biweekly goals, I can actually sit down and be like, is this actually leading us to where we're going? Or is this just a bunch of busy work that makes us feel good, right? I know even some of the people on my team right now, I'm leading my sales team, and it's like, we are going after all kinds of different targets. And we're also trying to build a dashboard for the sales team. And I'm looking at it and I'm like, is this dashboard actually the most important thing to get done by the end of the quarter? Or is it more the people work, some of the training we need to do within our organization? And when you start to pit the biweekly goals against the quarterly or even the annual, it brings a lot of clarity to what's truly important, right? And I get caught away with this too sometimes because my team gets passionate about doing certain things every week and I'm like, go for it. But does it actually relate to the goal, right? Is a very important question to ask. Once we've established the right goals, we know they're pointing in the right direction, we then can start to look at their calendar. Give me a yes or no on this, but how many have a calendar for yourself, but also for your team, where everybody has a block schedule? And this is probably not as much for your painters, but this might be for your salesperson or your production manager, people of this sort. So it's important in these meetings to go through their actual calendar and say, is what you have block scheduled for the next week or two actually relevant to where we're going in the goal? And can we actually clearly optically see what you're spending time on this week relates to what we set as a goal, especially if we're going to change the goals a little bit or shift them based on some strategy changes. We need to start to move that block schedule around so they spend time on things that actually matter. I would love to hear your calculation on this. Based on like a per person average, how many hours do you think gets wasted in a week because people are working on the wrong stuff? So not that they're out working, they're working hard, but they're working on the wrong stuff. How many hours do you think gets wasted every single week? Per person on average?
50 bajillion.
10. I would agree. I think it's probably about a day a week, right? It could be more, but it's probably about a day a week, which is pretty huge when you add all that up by people. And so this is a chance in your like actual goal setting, not to just set a number or an initiative, but to actually make sure it's planned out well in the calendar, right? It's thought through. Then final section of the meeting is the actual administrative stuff. Okay. So this is the non-goal related questions, things for like, you know, uniforms are coming out. I need to know your size. You know, we had a minor security breach last week. Make sure your passwords are updated. Hey, vehicles are going in for service on Friday. Like, please make sure you drop it off at the mechanic. It's all the random stuff that you might need to communicate with them and stuff that they might need to communicate with you that's not urgent, right? And so you guys notice this, there's phone calls that you make or they make throughout the week that are just like quick check-ins on quick little things and you're constantly a bit ADD around it. And then they're calling you and the timing's not good to ask you a quick question. If it's not absolutely urgent to the day, the answer is to put it in the GSR prep, right? Put it in the goal setting review prep. We're going to cover this on Monday when we meet. And this is your chance for you and for the person you're leading to have one centralized 5-minute space to get through all that administrative stuff and get rid of all those random phone calls happening throughout the week. Okay. So pretty productive 30 minutes, right? 30 minutes to lead an entire person's week. Or if you can do this either weekly or biweekly, but I usually think every week is good. Half an hour, open and check in. Where are they at? Make sure I'm leading them the right way. Performance review. What happened? Did we hit? Did we miss? And why? Based on what we've learned, setting future goals and a plan that actually makes sense to optimize the productivity of their time and their day, that they're working on what matters and that they're spending their day doing it in a way that's broken down that makes sense. And then all the little administrative stuff that usually comes through phone calls and random text messages centralized and located in that meeting in the last 5 minutes. Does it make sense? And so often my Mondays are spent morning time preparing for my goal setting review meetings. Then I'm doing 2 to 3 to sometimes 4 in my Monday afternoons. If I've got a bigger team, I'll do my other ones on Tuesdays. And what I'm really trying to do is get my whole team set up for success for this so that their week goes well, right? And the cadence continues week after week after week. Friday, they're submitting everything in and away we go with accountability structure. Okay. Tanya hates those. And this makes a pretty big impact, right? This is Dan, one of our members, but his net profit went from $525,000, which ain't bad, up to over $1 million in 1 year, just based on working on GSR and accountability structure. Like, this is massive when you start to look at the time that we take as individuals, as entrepreneurs, doing our job, plus everybody else's, them spending, say, 10 hours a week doing things that aren't really in the right vein of productivity of where we're heading. And then you're hiring more people as a result to cover for mistakes, when really a lot of it stands within the people you already have. And it's just lining them up with the goal. And is that goal actually leading to the company goal? And are we all working on one thing as one big kind of like unit versus individually just trying to make money off our hourly wage and no one's super aligned? Now, this is good, right? So if you think about what we've talked about, the setup of all this. So we're like, okay, we've got goals by person. We know who's reporting to who. We've got like, you know, bonus structure that's all related to this. We've got a meeting structure that we're now putting in place. But where does all this lead? And I mean, shoot me in the chat. What do you think all this leads to at the end of the year? What's one piece that we need to do at the end of the year to make sure we've wrapped a bow on this and actually like drove performance to a result? We have one more thing we should do with this person year end. What do you think that is? What do you think that is? Let me know. Mike T's typing first. Israel's going next. Performance reviews. Bam. Or annual reviews, whatever you want to call it. There you go. Thanks, Kelsey. Annual reviews, right? And so these annual reviews, again, should be built in a way that reflects on what they've just been working on throughout the entire year. So again, here's another template, an example we're going to give you for download. But this allows you to actually sit down and go, okay, every year, how did you do? What was your role that you were in? And how was your rating out of, you know, 5? And so there's a little grid here to help you with your ratings. On the next page, what were your annual deliverables this year? What was the goal? What was the result? And how did you do a year ago? And ultimately take time to review goal versus actual, but for their entire year, right? From there, overall areas to continue, areas to work on, and it's a place to sign off for the year. Annual reviews mean a hell of a lot more when you coached them through that entire year. You worked with them and went to battle with them through the highs and the lows of the seasons and made sure that they achieved, or if they missed, you understood why. An annual review with just, hey, I didn't talk to you much all year and here's where you're at, can leave people with a lot of animosity, not understanding, hey, if you would help me in this, or why are you giving me this rating? But when you're actually their coach and you spend time all year going to war with them, these types of meetings are massively powerful because they hold all that year's experience in one awesome, well thought through meeting. And again, it's all leading one into the next. So Drew says just upper management. For annual reviews, I would say your whole team should have them. What? Actually, this is a good point, Drew. So what I often did is I would go, I'm the owner. I'm going to lead these three people, sales, production, admin. They're going to then lead the people below them. My production manager did not necessarily do like GSNRs with individual painters, but they would do crew site meetings every single week where they go through the crew plan, what projects were on the schedule, and had goals with them on what they wanted to complete by what time in the week. And so that we could schedule everything accordingly and hit our hourly targets that they're all trying to achieve. So it was a bit of a different GSR structure. It was a bit more loose and it was on the job site and it was all about jobs. But that said, everybody would have an annual review, if that makes sense. Okay. Let's just recap on where we've come. So we've talked about setting clear expectations, right? There's a bit of work in doing this and doing this properly. We talked a bit about consistent meeting rhythms, having something every single week or 2 weeks that they are in the calendar pre-scheduled for the entire year. We've talked a bit about the prep required by your team and by you as the leader. We've talked a bit about defined meeting structure, so what those half-hour meetings actually look like, and then leading that all into the annual review. And these are the key principles I would say to have a good performance management cycle. This is the stuff that for years I was held accountable to under the franchise organization I was with, and how I led over 100 painters every single summer to go and achieve and produce all this work. And it was really neat to watch how like the CEO's decision making would make it all the way down to a painter's paintbrush within a week, and right vice versa, the painter's experience would make it right back up to the CEO within a week, because the communication lines were constant and they were consistent and they were dynamic as things changed and moved. What you'll notice is you're going to actually see measurable results change in people. Those 10 hours a week that are getting wasted will start to get actually used for productive things. Way fewer phone calls, right? Like I lead my team on a Monday and a Tuesday, usually don't hear from them a ton Wednesday, Thursday, and sometimes Friday even, right? Because they know when their time is to meet with me. They've got all their stuff prepared. They feel ready to go. They can be focused. There's a lot more buy-in to the actual vision of where we're going, because they feel like they're a part of something with me, not just doing what I've asked them to do. They're going to earn a lot more. We've got performance incentives actually baked in, so they could be in charge of their own success. And I do find A players, this is kind of what they're looking for in a role, right? So something interesting with me is I've spent so much time like recruiting and hiring and training and developing young, especially young people in the contracting space. I've noticed this. People who are looking for like a way to pay their bills and maybe save a bit of money, how much they make per hour matters to them. It's probably the number one thing that matters to them. But as soon as they make enough to pay their bills and maybe save, say, 10%, what becomes the next most important thing is how they're contributing to the team, whether or not they're being built into, whether or not they feel a part of something that they can build with others, right? It's not about making more money all the time. It's about their ability to feel like they're a part of a game that you get to play with them, and to have a coach and somebody who actually cares about their progress and where they're going in their career. And it's stuff like this that makes a massive difference. So this is not statistical. I wish I could show you the actual numbers on this, but here's what I watch happen on teams. You go and you set up goals with your team, you give them all targets, everyone's excited, and for the first quarter, it actually goes pretty okay. But without constant upkeep and goal-setting review meetings and the constant coaching methodology of like, I'm here to help you hit and achieve your targets, they lose the vision and direction, and you're still just tying them through all this. But with GSNR, with that meeting structure I just showed you, where it's half an hour every week or 2 weeks, you're enabling you and your team to stay aligned on the long-term vision of the organization and make sure goals are achieved by your end. Small little tweak, right? But massive difference. And it takes time. Everyone's like, hey, got to spend half an hour, got to prep, I got to do this. But I'm telling you, that's the time you should be spending. Because if you're leading 10, 20, 30, 100,000 hours a year, what better way to spend your time than to organize those hours and make sure you're not being the doer of all the things you do every day, but being more the leader of great people and the builder of awesome systems so they can go execute on the organization. Because I've tried it. Working even, you know, 30,000, whatever it would be, 2,000 a year, probably 3,000. I probably worked over 4,000. I did a couple of 80-hour a week weeks for almost a year, a couple of times. You cannot outwork a dysfunctional business. And if people don't know where they're heading, you cannot drive performance within the organization. So take this time, have them prep on Fridays, do their meetings with you on Mondays. Make sure you've taken time to build a structure so it's appropriate goal setting that they're actually going after. I'm telling you, the organization will start to move forward without you having to put in so much manual effort. Okay. Now, I have one important question for all of you who are listening, especially for those of you who are entrepreneurs. Who's holding you accountable? Because this is good for your team, but what do you actually need to stay on track to? Right? A lot of us struggle with what I call entrepreneur ADD. It stands for like another darn distraction. Right? And we often have goals and things that big ideas that we want to go after, but the path to get there gets muddled because we have new ideas and the market changes and somebody quits and we get distracted and we stop focusing on what truly matters. And when we stop doing that, you can go set up all the structures I just showed you. Watch as that manifests into your entire team. So you as a leader over everybody else needs to be the most clear and focused and accountable to where you're actually heading, right? So this is what we do. I mean, we do a lot more than this, but this is a massive part of what we do in our organization because these webinars are great and they teach you a lot of good things to get started on how to build your business properly, but it takes so much more than just that. The accountability process for an entrepreneur is massive because we don't really have a boss. And I know I'm an entrepreneur myself. I kind of like the idea of not having a boss, but if I'm truthful, I kind of need one, right? To keep me focused. So this is what we do at Breakthrough Academy amongst many other things, but we're here to work with the entrepreneur in the actual day-to-day, make sure that we're transforming honest, hardworking contractors into well-balanced leaders, threat and thriving entrepreneurs. And the funny thing is, we're doing GSR with our members. Our members are doing GSR with the middle management team and so on and so forth down the line. But we are holding tension right from the top of the organization. And what's neat is the results that come out of this. So some of you maybe in other webinars have seen this slide, but it's, I think the revenue increase is cool. I think the net profit increase we're seeing in companies is astronomical. We're changing the behavior. And it's just by 1% here, 1% there, 5 hours on somebody's, you know, weekly time used on something different versus what they were doing. Average business is making an extra $168,000 a year in net profit because the owner's focused on what truly matters instead of all the other little things. So we do a lot to do this. We have a huge content library where, again, we've built this to be almost like a franchise system without you having to buy a franchise. So like all your SOPs, your processes, your job descriptions, your strategies, it's all done. We've built it for you. So to an 80% spec and you can customize it. We then assign you a coach because we know that giving you things is great, but actually holding you accountable and walking you through this properly throughout the year is where the performance gap actually makes things actually happen. And then the community is cool. We've got 1,000 entrepreneurs, about 600 businesses right now we're actively working with, and everyone's there to work with each other. And every single year we do Winter Summit. It's this cool getaway. I won't get into it today, but we celebrate a ton of success. We celebrate a ton of the ups and downs, and we come together to actually know like we're not alone in doing this anymore. So that's what we do at BTA. We work on this methodology, which, you know, is essentially pieces of what I've talked about with you today, but we assign the financial controls first to the organization. So it's sales, production, and financial numbers we need to go through to be able to be successful by year end. We then use those to bring those down into the organizational structure, like I just showed you. So everyone has a deliverable, but from what matters to the company. We then define the agreements and the reporting structure and all that. And then we start to know, okay, we're missing people. So what type of person will fit this type of role effectively? And so our hiring systems are completely reverse engineered based on the type of person you need to have in a certain role to achieve a certain goal. The training and onboarding processes are all built, which is really neat, but you basically have a way to train somebody and onboard them in a way that'll allow them to achieve their targets. We then obviously need to make sure we optimize sales and marketing. So we have a predictable revenue coming into the organization. And all of these activities are revolving around what we talked about today around goal setting and execution. With every owner we work with, we have a strategic plan that's 3 years long, down to a one-year plan, down to a quarterly plan, down to our biweekly meetings that our coaches are doing with each owner and holding tension to the long-term vision of the organization. Yeah, there, that's what we do amongst many other things. Here's my question for you guys right now. There's a lot that I just said. So if you think about recap on what we talked about KPIs and getting numbers for each role, breaking that into the employment agreements, baking that into the actual dashboards for each individual person, making sure we have a way to do meetings every one to two weeks to hold those people accountable, and then doing annual reviews. Of everything I've talked about, and I do not expect you to do everything I just talked about, what is one thing that you could actually implement? So shoot in the chat. Let me know what's the one thing once you get these downloads that you could actually use and be productive with. What do you guys think? Let me know. So what do we got? Shifting the mindset. Cool. That's the very, very beginning. Yeah, it's a lot more fun to be everybody's coach too. Like I am not one to rule with an iron fist. I'm not one to, I don't know, just like use people for their time. I'm like, I want to be a part of a team that actually cares. I want to lead a bunch of people that are having a lot of fun. And I think when you come at it from the coach position, it's a lot more of a unified approach versus me paying people for time and labor, right? What else we have? GSR, Mike said GSRs. Yeah, that is a huge staple. And it's literally since I was 18, I've either had someone doing GSR with me or I've been doing GSR with my direct reports. I'm 38 now, so that's 20 years of GSRs. It has not left. what else we have? Danny, thanks. Yeah, creating tangible goals in GSR. Awesome. Creating, documenting and locking into structured process. Totally. It takes a bit to set this up, right? This isn't an overnight, like build it all and get started with a team. But if you don't set this up, I've seen it for time and time again with companies where it's like they kind of do, they go and whatever, they give everyone targets and bonuses and they hope that'll incentivize them. It doesn't tend to often work. It's because the back end isn't well thought through first. So I recommend you spend some time doing that. Okay. We have 15 minutes. I'm going to do two things. One is I'm going to get you guys the link for your downloads. So make sure you get that. And then we have time for Q&A as well today, which is great. So let's just start with next steps, which if you're interested in Breakthrough Academy, if you want to talk to us about how we can help you in your organization, where we can set up some of these accountability structures or something further, our whole goal is to assist contractors as they go for their growth strategy. Essentially like working with you while you're building all of this stuff. And here's the thing I've learned in 10 years of doing this. You don't have to reinvent the wheel anymore. Like we now live in a world where a lot of this has been free thought through. A lot of the different ways of doing something has been navigated so that you can benefit from it. So if you're in a place right now as a business, often the companies we work are like 1 to 10 million, I would say. Some a little smaller, some a little bigger, but generally it's this $1 to $10 million range and you're building this stuff already. We should probably have a conversation. This first talk is not a sales call. It's actually a strategy call. So we want to understand you, your biggest challenges, what's going on, if this is even something we can help you with. If not, we'll probably refer you to some of our partners or someone else that could help you. But for the right fit, we can take on a ton of the stuff that you probably do manually and actually make sure that your organization is structured well with the end in mind. We've been through this, like I said, 16, 1800 times, a lot. So if you want a strategy session, there's a little button you can press, say, yeah, I'd like to learn more about BTA and we can get in touch with you. I think there's one for PCA as well. If you're not a part of PCA, make sure you check off yes. You'd like to hear more about them as well. And if you want the templates, fill this out. You can indicate that, hey, I only want the templates. It's fine. But that'll give you an employment agreement and an actual like tool to build your own, a GSR dashboard, a goal setting review dashboard, and a prep example. So you can start to use those with your direct reports. An organizational structure example, so what deliverables look like broken down by different roles, and then an annual review template and example, so you can use that. Dennis says, how much? I can tell you about, you want me to tell you about BTA? BTA, we do a 6-week course with you first, and it's actually, so first you go through these initial calls, then we do a screening assessment with you. If you're a good fit, you go through Blueprint. It's 6 weeks long, and it gives you the complete framework of how to build and structure your organization moving forward. That's $5,500 to do. And then if you're going into coaching after that, there's three different tiers we have, ranging from $850 a month to the top tiers at $2,850 a month. And that's depending on how much coaching and one-on-one support you need. So but we can get into that with you when we sit down with you. There you go. There's some repricing. It's on our website too, if you're interested. So that is us. I've been doing this for 20 years, and I would say GSR of all the things that I've learned over the years is probably one of the most like high impact tools or ideas that you can put in place. Because like I said, it has a multiplier effect. So your hours every week can be multiplied by the number of people that you work with. And like we saw at the beginning of that chat box, but it's like a lot of us are 10, 20, 30, 40, 50,000 hours a year that we're managing. This has a pretty good leveraging effect on being able to leverage those hours effectively and save those 10 hours of wastage per employee per week. So it's good. There's the link. If you haven't clicked it yet, make sure you do. It's a little yellow button. It says click here. You can fill out the form. If you want to chat with BTA, you'll see a little section for that. It says yes, show me how. Make sure you do that. And one other kind of goodie. How many of you have heard of the Contractor Evolution podcast? Maybe yes, maybe no. It's essentially we'll do weekly drops on all kinds of education for you guys. And it's completely free. And we've got it on YouTube. We've got it on all the major podcasts, sites. And this should lead a lot of you to while you're driving around or sitting in the office and just want a little dose of inspiration or thoughts. I'm running this right now and I'm looking to make it very educational, step-by-step processes that you guys can use, follow-up links that you guys can get in touch with key people and vendors in the marketplace and give you downloads and solutions. So if you're not subscribed to this yet, check it out. This is a weekly drop and probably put almost half my time into this at this point. So check it out and this should help all of you as well. Okay, we have got 12 minutes, which we can use for Q&A. So if you haven't yet, or you had questions throughout, I'll get my team to gather them, but submit some questions. Anything you'd like to know about GSR, about goal setting, about KPIs, targets, bonuses, GSNR, annual reviews, anything else, happy to answer. So how do you become a coach in your business? How do you become a coach in your business, Nicola? I mean, essentially, Nicola, the idea behind all of this is you're giving your team the autonomy and an opportunity to go and make what they need to make by achieving targets within the organization. And when the goal is up to them to go achieve, the idea is that they need to come to you for advice, support, and feedback. So instead of saying to someone, hey, I need you to produce whatever, $20,000 this month, they're coming to you saying, I want to hit my bonuses. I want to produce 20,000 or I want to produce 25,000 even and achieve more on the bonus. Can you help me with this? And you are there to help your people achieve their goals, not to go do it for them or to tell them because I said so, if that kind of makes sense. Alex, how do you retrieve data from your painters and teams automatically? So there is an interesting, let me see if I can pull this up for you guys. I actually just did a podcast with a company called Protiv. Let me just pull up their website. I'll show you them. There's a few different solutions for time tracking. These guys are really good at performance-based pay. So they'll take all the time calculations by site and start to go goal versus actual on these sites and allow you to have a really good dashboard for your crews. So they can actually make money based on how productive they are based on the budget versus actual on what they go achieve. Actually, I'll put this in this chat box as well. There's lots of other solutions these guys I just recently did a podcast with, but they've really tried to attack the problem of actually like tracking good hours and like rewarding the crews accordingly. Any ideas on how to something similar to here? I'm going to go to Mike's moderator section. Aaron, if you can put these in the moderator section, I'll look at them from there. This is if you're coming in. Okay. How do I add deliverables to existing agreements without deliverables? So Myra, I would take some time to think through that org structure first that I had shown you and think through what the company's goals actually are and then what that means for each individual role below you. I find that deliverables that matter are usually like revenue, profit, or quality focused. And if they can be all three, it leads to a much more like balanced approach. That if it's all about revenue, they're probably going to produce work that's not that profitable. If it's all about quality, they're probably going to produce not a ton of work or work that's not profitable. But when it can be a quality, volume, and profit metric, three different metrics, that's usually a good sustainable approach. How you add them, I mean, you will have to put them into their agreement, build the agreement around the template I gave you, and then sit down and do an actual agreement review with them. I don't recommend everyone start setting goals tomorrow with their team. I would take some time to track this stuff first with them without the risk of them, you know, losing or gaining pay on this. And see how their productivity changes over time and see where their opportunity to make money actually is. At the end of this year, it could be a good time to do an agreement review with everybody and get them locked in for performance results going into 2026. That makes sense. How do I build an org chart when I am the only project manager and sales guy? Well, Adrian, I would say for now, build it with two versions. So one is the current state of things and still put in deliverables for your individual painters, okay? But build the next version as well, like what you're building towards. And that way, you know who you're going to be hiring at what stage in the business. And you can even see who you might even end up promoting as a result. So build current state today and then build probably let's say a year or two state as well. So you can see where the organization is going and everyone else can as well. The people that are in those roles are probably going to be people like you. So your name might be in the owner role. It might be in the salesperson role and in the production manager role. That's okay. Eventually your name will get erased and someone hired will get into those positions. Lewis says, how do I track that they're actually performing the accountability structure? They say it, but may not execute. This is where project management software or CRM like PaintScout we were talking about actually matters. So a lot of this should be numerical. Some of it's project based. Then you could use like an Asana to execute projects with them, where you can track how they're doing on the project itself. And if it's numbers based, it's something that either through QuickBooks or a project management software should be easily referenceable in their like results section or their KPI section. We've built a custom one through Zoho. So we have a dashboard that pulls all these metrics from different places. But I would say the best place to start is your project management software and what you currently can actually track. Jason says, do you follow this GSR process with subs also? You can. You do have to be careful because there is a legal difference in your ability to direct them. But at some level, if they have goals or you have goals together, you can have meetings with them around the strategy to achieve those goals. Yes. And it depends. Like some of your subcontractors might have entire businesses where they don't really care about you, but you could say, hey, here's how much production hours I'd like you guys to take care of this year, and then work on how you guys are doing as two companies to achieve that by year end. What else? Can you do a performance review with subs? Yeah, it was same question. So you can't, again, you can, but you cannot mandate anything out of it because they're independent contractors from you. But having an ability to sit down and go, here's where you did well, here's where you didn't do well, here's what I recommend, is fine, right? It's a conversation. Carly, how do you pull your guys and gals off jobs to have these GSR meetings? So Carly, I would say, ideally, this is your production manager doing this. If you don't have a production manager, what I did for site visits with my crews is we would have a basically like a chart for the week, or sometimes 2 weeks even. We would have the jobs scheduled that they're basically needing to get done. And we would have like, by Wednesday lunchtime, we want this job done and wrapped up. We're going to do our crew move at lunchtime so that Wednesday afternoon and Thursday, Friday, we can go on to the next project. And we had goals around the schedule of the jobs. And I would be on site with them as a group doing that, right? If it's a production manager, this is a Monday morning thing. So they could be doing it on Zoom if they absolutely have to on out of their truck, but it's best to, if you can, have them in the office Monday morning, first thing before they head out, or maybe it's Monday afternoon after they've set up their first cruise, and have a quick like half hour, like what's the plan for the week? Mikey says, what is BTA's preferred time management tool? That's a good question. I use Google Calendar for time management specifically. For priority management, which is, I think is kind of like the epicenter of what really matters, it's strategic planning. So we have a one-page strategic planning tool that we use that breaks down our 3-year plan down to our annual plan, breaks that annual plan down into quarterly goals and initiatives. And then we're referencing that as we're kind of doing our goal setting and review stuff. And then our block schedule is managed through Google Calendar, if that kind of makes sense. So you go strategic plan down to Google Calendar. Katie, is best way to set up deliverables for crew leaders and or subcontractor teams? I mean, yeah. So Katie, I was talking about this earlier, but so a crew, I'll just talk to a crew leader specifically. A crew leader has a massive opportunity to focus on the productivity of the hours of your team. And one of the things that I used to always do was what I call the gross profit driver, which was essentially, hey, we need you to produce, let's say, just use round numbers. We need you to produce $1 million this year at a 40% gross profit, which essentially what I'm saying to that, you know, crew leader is like, I need you to go produce, I need you to deliver $400,000 of gross profit to the company. Anything you make over and above that, though, I'll give you 10% of. And it was a neat bonus incentive where they knew I can go make $400,000 by producing $1 million at 40%, or I can produce $1.1 million at 40% to make a little extra. Or I can produce $1 million at 44% even and make a bit extra that way. And it gave them a more dynamic way to go after a gross profit target for the year. Other than that, okay, the other thing I said. So just if you have just like someone working on sites, I usually had hours-based goals for them. So it was essentially budgeted hours versus actuals. And this is where ProTiv, that this thing here that I was showing everyone, can be really effective. And it actually allows you to track the hours or the budget for the job for labor. And then if they get below the projected hours or budgeted for labor, they get the extra amount that wasn't spent, essentially. So you could check out ProTiv for that as well. What else? Do you find when companies incorporate these principles that employees easily embrace the concept? Yes and no, right? It depends on the culture that you've built. If you have a performance-based culture and everyone's stoked, like, yes, this can go very well. But if you've never introduced this type of stuff before, it's actually quite dangerous. This is what I was saying earlier. It's quite dangerous to just jump on this and give everybody goals that you don't even know they can achieve. So what I recommend doing first is start to track this type of stuff and see what's actually happening. Because you as an owner will likely think that they can be more productive than they actually can. So go figure out what the averages are in your actual company and then track it with them for a little while. Right. And start to see like how did you do on that site budget? How did you do on production for the month? And this is what you would have maybe made had we had goals on this that we paid you out on. This is why I think like between now and end of year, it could be a good time to kind of like play with it before you make it real and tangible and like numbers and dollars and cents are involved. In 2026, you could start to do that because you spent the last half of the year tracking all this with your team. How do you feel about daily field budgets? In this sense of hours for the day and what they want to get done. I think if that's what you're saying, Robert, I feel really good about those. This is what I used to do with crews, right? We'd have a plan for the week. We'd have the job and we'd be like, okay, we want prep done by lunchtime. We want, you know, first coat to go on after that. Then we want second coat on Tuesday to be done. And then we want cleanup and job site wrap up on Wednesday morning so we can move crew sites. So we would take the sections of the job and think through them. I usually did it like before lunch, after lunch kind of blocks. And what we wanted to get done, and then we'd plan our crew groups accordingly. If not nuanced to answer, what is the expected amount of painters one production manager should have under them? Ha ha ha. I played with this. I find the average production manager can handle three crews relatively easily. Four crews, it starts to get a little hairy. Some of the best ones I've seen do five crews at a time. I find it less about the painters and the amount of versus the amount of sites that they're managing at a given time. For me, this is just personal opinion. Three crews to a production manager was usually good. And then they can kind of go from site to site managing all the different things that have to happen. Four crews was okay, but they usually were getting a little crazy. Five, some can do it actually. The best ones can. But I did not put that as probably an expectation for someone. It's three to four. What are the commodities of the most successful BTA members? Oh, commonalities. What do they succeed where others are mediocre or fail? So we look for this in our assessment process with anyone coming in, but there's a lot of things. But one thing we look for is like, do you have the ability to work on the actual business? And can you show that you can consistently do this? As an entrepreneur, you guys have options every single day to go take care of some day-to-day stuff, op stuff, sales stuff, whatever it is, or to go work on the business. And we challenge everyone we work with to be putting about 5 hours a week working on the business. And so first, we look for a track record of your ability to actually do that. And is that possible, right? What's currently going on in your day and how would that fit? Second, as we're working with people, the most successful ones are consistently putting in 5 hours. They have it scheduled in their calendar. What we talk about in our GSNR actually gets implemented over the next 2 weeks before we meet them with them next, and they're doing it consistently, right? And consistency is key because you can go in the off season and go bust out a whole bunch of production or build out stuff for your organization. But if you can't through the off season or through the busy season still have about, say, 5 hours a week to work on the business, it does lead to a lack of productivity over time and missed goals and things like that. So I think there's a lot of things. Let me start with that. There's time management and being able to put 5 hours a week to work on the business. There's also what I call fundamental, the ability to handle stress in pursuit of a goal, which most entrepreneurs, I think, kind of have baked in them. But I think it's a certain level as you grow, you start to really stress test yourself. Like, can you still stay focused and mentally and emotionally engaged through the ups and the downs? It's something even for me, like I gauge myself in this. I'm like, how much stress can I actually handle while trying to grow my organization? What's too much and what's too little? But can I stay true to the goals I've set? Can I stay mentally like on for my team, given the highs and lows of being an entrepreneur? And some of you who maybe have $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 business and you just crumble under stress, I would not recommend turning it into something more than what you have it, which is an owner-operator model, which can make you a lot of money actually, but there's less stress because you can manage it all yourself. But if you've been battle tested and you're like, I can handle stress, it's okay. I don't want it to last all year, but I can handle a couple of bad months and come out of it okay. And I learn a lot from it and I'm not negative. And I feel like I'm growing as a result. The ability to handle stress is pretty big. It actually was something I interviewed every single franchisee on I ever worked with. It's like, can you handle stress in pursuit of a goal? And then, yeah, can you manage and maintain some time to work on the business? What else? Would a production manager be similar to a field supervisor role? Yeah, so there's your production manager. And again, some of these terms, they change if you're in painting or construction or... But there's production manager is maintaining all the crews. And then you would probably have like a crew lead, right? That would be on site. And that could be called a site super or crew lead or whatever it is. They're still painting, but they're also managing the customer relationship, often picking up the check, looking over quality issues, making sure the production schedule's on point for the jobs that they have. The production manager is managing 3 to 4 crews at a time, making sure everybody's working and doing their thing. That kind of makes sense. Carly Frank. You're speaking about crews always being the same and working together. We have jobs that are 4-person jobs and then have jobs that are 2-person jobs. Yeah, I used to do that too. We had trim jobs, let's say, and we had large scale exteriors. So while I have crew leaders, their crew is always changing. I feel this makes GSR part harder to track and set goals. Is there a way you'd recommend changing this? It's a great question. I'll tell you what I did, and I get this, Carly, because it wasn't perfect. Like, I tried my best to have specialties. So I had like my trim crew, and then I had my like large scale, like I did all exterior, so like stucco, big, like whole house crew. The whole house crew was larger. The trim crew was 2 people, and I tried to specialize them in that as best I could. With all that said, your crew's targets and their goals are all based on the jobs that they're working on. And this is where, I'll go back to Protiv. I'm giving them lots of props today. I didn't realize I would. But you can track on every single job how many hours each person put on it. So even if it's a different set of people for the next project, it will track of 100 hours, Jimmy did 10, Laura did 42, and Ron did 6 or whatever. And then it gives a percentage based on how many hours they worked of how much that of they get of that bonus for that specific job. And then gives them a dashboard on how they're doing on their individual goals. If that kind of makes sense. So you can still have people mixing in the crews and still have each job though tracked on its performance and how that person did when they contributed their amount of hours to it. If that kind of makes sense. Okay. Anything else? Are we good? Well, I'll say this, for those of you who are still on, I encourage you, it's summertime. I know it's July. I know it's busy. I encourage you to take some time over the next couple of weeks to just think through what the goals of your organization are and what the individual goals would be by person. It doesn't mean you need to roll it all out to everybody and start adding bonuses and job descriptions. I think a lot of this can be slowly built over the next 6 months so that you can launch in 2026 with a lot of this with your crews. But start to think through what the goals actually should be. Start to see what the actuals are. Start to think like, how do I track this information? And what do I have right now to be able to track this in a simple way that's not overcomplicated? And play around with it this summer to see what makes sense and what doesn't. And then over the fall, start to build a lot of these structures in place so that you can launch this with your team in 2026. That'd be my recommendation for all this. So cool. I think that's what we got. So thank you guys for being on today. I hope this was helpful. We've given you lots of things to think through, a big download package. If you haven't got it yet, make sure you get it, play around with it. If you want to talk to Breakthrough Academy or PCA, I think is an option in there as well. Make sure you give us a chat. We will spend some time. We'll flip the script with you a little bit. We won't talk a ton. We're going to listen to you for this first meeting. We want to understand what's going on in the business, what the core challenges are, and if we can actually help you. But this idea of kind of scaling and growing a painting company has been figured out. I guarantee you the business of contracting is not a big mystery. And I think all of us are starting to work on this stuff and scaling from 1 million to 10, there is a path, right? I always describe it as like the individual entrepreneur is carving that path with a machete through the jungle, just hacking away at bushes. We've made a highway and we can put you in a car and we can just drive you to the destination. You're still going to have to do a lot of the work along the way, but the amount of like trees that you have to hack down with a machete are far fewer, and the accountability to actually get there and the support from all of us, it makes it a hell of a lot more fun of a ride. So if you're working on this, I recommend you get in touch with us and we'll see if we can help you. Other than that, I'll let you all get to your weeks. It's Tuesday, and I'd imagine all of you have lots going on. So thanks for being a part of this. I hope this helped, and I'll let you guys get back to your week.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Contractor Evolution. If you've already subscribed to our podcast, consider sharing this episode with another contractor that you think needs to hear it.